Hey, Upper Friday. This week, Nvidia started losing China and Jensen is really worried. Apple decided to rename all of their operating systems and Amazon decided to get really serious about hardware. Welcome to the Friday Checkout. This video is sponsored by Ground News. Okay, for my first story of the week, Nvidia started losing China and CEO Jensen Huang really started to praise Huawei. So the GPU maker reported their earnings this week, which remained outstanding. They posted revenues of $44.1 billion for their first quarter, which was up 69% from a year ago. Nice. And even their gaming revenue was up 42% year on year. That said, this insane chart really highlights that the majority of their growth is primarily coming from the AI boom. Anyway, amid all of the good news, Nvidia also said that they're seeing a $2.5 billion Q1 revenue loss from Trump's China chip export ban, and they warned that it will be an additional $8 billion loss in the second quarter for the same reason. Jensen said that China's AI moves on with or without US chips. The question is not whether China will have AI, it already does. Instead, the question is whether one of the world's largest markets will run on American platforms. He, of course, is referring to the question of whether China will standardize around his own CUDA platform, like the rest of the world has as well, or perhaps something else. He hinted that Huawei has become quite formidable with AI chips, which he sees as a rival. We've recently learned that the newest Huawei AI chips can be quite competitive, though they apparently need 4 times as much power as Nvidia's chips do, which I guess really limits their appeal. Jensen, of course, is not a reliable narrator, as he's directly incentivized to make sure that all the lawmakers believe that the entire American project will collapse if he's not allowed to have perfect market access everywhere, but it's still an interesting trade-off. Oh, and Donald Trump, just this week, did also order US chip software suppliers to stop selling to China as well, so I guess the chip bans aren't going away anytime soon. Anyway, moving on to my second story of the week, Mark Gurman reported this week that Apple will completely change its naming scheme for operating systems, and they'll call them iOS 26 and macOS 26, for example, instead of iOS 19. This is done to align with the year of the release, so 2026. Well, I guess most of these updates will be released in 2025, along with the iPhone 17, for example, so I guess it's the year plus one, kind of like how FIFA does their games. That's always the year of the release plus one, which is a bit odd, but okay. And it's going to be the same for all of their operating systems, so we'll have macOS 26, iPadOS 26, watchOS 26, visionOS 26, and tvOS 26. That'll make it a little bit easier to stay up to date of where we are, because I think today we have, iOS 18, watchOS 12, macOS 15, and visionOS 2, for example, so I think I like the new scheme better. Samsung already does this with their phones, where the S25 series was released in 2025. And Windows, of course, now has version numbers like 24H2 as well, which refers to it being released in the second half of 2024. I wouldn't be surprised if this became basically the new standard for things like Android and One UI as well, which all more or less release once a year, so it would make things much easier. Of course, iOS 26 is also supposed to be a really huge update with a complete design overhaul, so there's going to be quite a lot to look forward to at WWDC. Okay, and for my third story of the week, Amazon is apparently getting really serious about making hardware. Specifically, a report this week said that Amazon taps Xbox co-founder to lead new team developing breakthrough consumer products under the banner of a name of 01. The new employee will be under the former Surface chief, Panos Panay, so clearly Amazon is hiring hardware people from Microsoft. What could they be working on? Well, I guess Panos right now is most prominently in charge of Alexa stuff and also Kindle stuff. So I'm guessing it's not impossible that some new wearable AI gadget is the goal, as that seems to be the focus for most tech companies. But meanwhile, Ming-Chi Kuo claims that Amazon is working on a large foldable device due to come out in 2026 or 2027, which might be something like a foldable tablet. Sounds like the kind of product that Panos would have made with Microsoft in the Surface division, but I wonder what that would look like with Amazon. Like, what kind of operating system would that run? Something with Alexa, I guess? Kind of weird. Anyway, moving on to our release monitor, we start with Motorola releasing new mid-range phones like the G56, G86, and the G86 Power, the last of which packs a pretty cool 6,720 mAh battery. All of these cost between £200 and £300, so that's really nice. And meanwhile, Realme also launched the global editions of the GT7 and GT7T, with their headlining features also being a massive 7,000 mAh battery and speedy 120-watt charging. These also have the thickness of a completely regular phone like the Galaxy S25 Ultra, which is nice. I'm generally very excited for all of these big battery phones to be coming to the West as well, and as usual, links to all the release monitor stuff is in the description. And moving on to the brief, we start with the Nintendo Kindle Switch 2, which seems to have started to arrive to the first customers a bit early. Someone already posted a Reddit AMA about their device, there were early unboxings, etc. Nice. But maybe hold off on your Nintendo purchase just now, because Nvidia's GeForce Now app is now also native on the Steam Deck with incredible results. Nvidia says that you get 50% more battery life when you stream games rather than when you play them locally, while one tester claims that he went from an hour and 44 minutes to an estimated 7 hours worth streaming. That is pretty bonkers. Obviously not something that you'd want to do when you're on the go, but while you're at home with Wi-Fi, that's pretty cool. And still in gaming, Apple also bought its first ever video game studio. It's a two-person studio that made the game Sneaky Sasquatch, which is a game that was an Apple Arcade Game of the Year winner. Reports are that Apple will release a dedicated app for video games on its devices, which will be pre-installed on iPhone, iPad, Mac, and Apple TV devices later this year, and it should be a game launcher that keeps things like leaderboards and achievements in one place. Next, the One UI 8 beta is now out for the Galaxy S25 series devices, and it quote, absolutely dunks on Google. That was a clickbait headline. Apparently the features are a little bit ahead on Samsung than they are on the Pixel phones, but it's nothing crazy, and there's also no crazy impressive new features that you really have to have. But yeah, One UI 8 beta is out now. And moving on, Counterpoint released their usual list of the top 10 best-selling smartphones for the last quarter, and we can see a few interesting changes. The best-selling phone last quarter was the cheapest base iPhone 16, no longer the most expensive Pro Max, while Samsung also went from having two flagships in the top 10 down to just one, which also went down two places compared to last year. Now, you can't read too much into quarterly sales figures, but if I'm seeing this trend correctly, it means that the trend of premiumization has kind of reversed a little bit, perhaps as the economic situation of many people has gotten a little bit tougher. Then next, in AI news, the Chinese company DeepSeek has a new and upgraded R1 model that reasons better and hallucinates less, and apparently it's close to OpenAI's O3 model and also Google's Gemini 2.5 Pro. It's apparently still available under an MIT open source license too, so that's pretty cool. Meanwhile, in the world of Elon Musk, the man has officially stepped down from the White House and also left Doge this week, just as Tesla continues to circle the drain. The country's sales across most of Europe fell a staggering 49% in April year over year again, even as the overall battery electric sales rose, so there is really a lot of work to do. But at the same time, his other company, xAI, just struck a deal and is now paying Telegram $300 million plus some equity to push Grok to Telegram users for a year. And meanwhile, in his third empire, SpaceX, the company managed to successfully send its Starship rocket up into orbit, but then the return to Earth saw an uncontrolled re-entry, which was SpaceX's third consecutive unsuccessful launch. Now, this is the kind of story where the way it is reported depends very heavily on how a media outlet feels about someone like Elon Musk. And that means what you, the reader, take away from it can vary wildly depending on what you read. And that is exactly why my sponsor Ground News is so valuable. Ground News is a website and an app that aggregates thousands of sources, and like in this case, they find hundreds of sites covering our SpaceX story. And on top of that, they also add a lot of really useful context. If you select sources from the political right, then you might get publications that explain that the failure is expected and also part of success because of what can be learned from it, but move on to the left, and the headlines become things like, quote, more embarrassment for Elon Musk after another explosion during Starship launch. In a time when seemingly everyone is trying to get you to buy into their version of the story, seeing the narratives being built in front of you is a really useful tool, and Ground News can help with that. Besides just political leanings, they also show you how factual each outlet is based on three independent news monitoring organizations, and they also say who owns the publications. So for example, if you click on Center, you could find Spaceflight Now, which is a small but dedicated media operation tracking space news with a center orientation that reads very factually. Nice! Ground News even has a blind spot section that shows news stories that were mostly covered only by one side of the political spectrum, and best of all, they're currently offering my viewers 40% off the Ground News Unlimited Access Vantage Plan subscription, which is what I use to access all of their amazing features. It's a great deal, so go to ground.news/FridayCheckout, click on the link in the description, or use the QR code on screen to subscribe for less than $5 a month. I'll see you next Friday!